thank you for tuning in today to our Wednesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we'll be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Castle Rock. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'd love to be able to place a Bible in your hand. You know, as we offer that on Saturday, the 8th, all those different programs for homeschooling and other curriculum and things like that, that's going to become more and more valuable as we go forward. I'm not here to necessarily prophesy anything. I just think that you can see the writing on the wall. Okay. Our legislation here in Colorado is nothing short of pure evil. The things that they are racing through to make law and things like that. we have a House Bill 1003 that was just passed on March 17th. And this bill basically is beginning the eroding of parental rights. Okay, so this bill creates a mental health assessment and screening program. Well, that sounds pretty good. Dave, what do you have against mental health and screening program through the Department of Health and Environment? Right now, schools can determine whether or not to participate. I would submit to you the majority will. I will submit to you that eventually that will not become something you can choose to participate. They will force you to as a public school. That will eventually come. What they do is that they have, for the first 2 weeks of the school year, they're going to have a program where they get to sit down with your child and begin to identify if they have a health problem or not, or a mental health problem or not. Right now, and this is for 12 years and older, parents may opt out of their 12-year-old child from screening, but only if the child consents. And so, if the screener believes a child is in danger of harming self or others, the student's school and parents must be notified unless the child does not consent. So if the child doesn't consent, then the school doesn't have to notify you. So parents must be given information on resources and service provided through the iMatter program, but only again if the child consents. So what that means is that if, and this is all for this reason alone, if your child is thinking of transgendering but doesn't want their parents to know, then they have an outlet there at their school to go down that path without letting the parents know. That's what this is all about. It's not because of other mental health issues and things like that. It's strictly for that reason, and I just want you to be aware of that. Right now, homeschool is not part of this, but as they make all the schools part of this, they'll eventually reach into that, I'm sure, as well. And so I just want you to understand the direction that this is going. I say this out of truth and love and everything else. You're supposed to share God's word as well as other things in truth and love. If you just share truth, you can be a very, very cruel person. And if you just share love, well, then anything goes. And then nothing matters, okay? But when you share truth and love, there's power in that. There's power in that. And so, again, as a grandparent, I'm going to make sure that my grandkids do not go to a school, because I'm sure I already know my kids are part of this as well, that they're not going to want their kids to go to any school that will be participating in that. And so if that requires them going to homeschool or a private school or whatever, we as grandparents will come alongside to try and help any way that we can to make sure that it goes in that direction. And so when you look at it and go, well, my kids are already grown up. Okay, but you have grandkids. Okay, grandkids are grown up. Then you have great-grandkids. They're somewhere in there that you need to be praying for and helping others so they don't have to present their kids in such an evil environment, because that's what it is. That's what it is. So I have no doubt that things are going to get worse. And Lord, come quickly. That's all I have to say. So with that encouraging word, let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Before going into ministry, I was an insurance and security agent for about 4 years with Mass Mutual. In the last year, I had come back to the Lord, and I had gotten involved at our church, Horizon Christian Fellowship, with a high school ministry. I began teaching a small Bible study with high school kids that grew to about 65 kids, it was a time of, wow, this is really exciting to be able to see. In the midst of that time, I remember going, Lord, I don't really enjoy what I'm doing in life. I don't really enjoy being an insurance and security agent. And so I'm kind of feeling a stirring in my heart, but I'm not exactly sure what it is. And so I took some time off, and I went with some friends skiing up in Mammoth Mountain in the Sierras in California. And I kind of cut my teeth on that. My parents had a condo up there, and so we would go up there every year, and we would ski. And so I learned to ski upon that mountain. And we still had that condo at that time, and so brought some friends up there. And then I told them one day, you guys go. I just want to stay back. I'm going to really seek the Lord. And I believe I'm in a crossroads of what it is that God is calling me to do. And so I sought the Lord that whole day. And I prayed, kept on asking the question, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And so kept praying and asking, and it was about 1, 2 in the afternoon that I heard clear as day in my mind, Dave, what is it that you look forward to every week? Well, I don't know, Lord. I don't know. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. What do you look forward to every week? Well, I don't know. What do you look forward to every week? And I just go, teaching that Wednesday night Bible study. And I heard as clear as day, do that. And I remember thinking, is there money in that? How do you? But that's all I heard. And faith doesn't ask how, faith just does. So I got back. Like I said, I was involved in the youth program there at our church with the high school ministry. And I went and spoke to Miles McPherson, who was overseeing and the youth pastor of our church. And Miles had taken over like a year and a half earlier. That there's like about 30 kids or so. And it had grown to about 300 kids at that point. And so I went to Miles. I said, this is what the Lord told me. I don't know what this means. He says, well, you see what's going on here with the youth group is exploding. I could use some help. I definitely could use some full-time help. Have you ever thought of going into missionary support? And I'm going, don't know what that is. So no, I've never thought of that, What does that mean, And so he explained to me that you actually raise the support. You go to the church and say, hey, I have, X amount of dollars that people are willing to give so I can come alongside in this ministry. And so Miles explained that to me. It took about three or four months to gather enough people to say, hey, we'll give you so much. And I quit my job and I went into ministry full time. And 6 months later, I meet my wife, Mindy, as we're doing youth ministry. She was not in the youth ministry. She came along with youth ministry. Let's make that very clear. And so she wanted to help out with youth ministry, and so met her 6 months as I was doing this. 6 months later, got engaged, asked her to marry me in front of a high school Bible study of 500 people at that point. We had a huge auditorium. That's where we met as a high school ministry. 6 months after that, got married. My father-in-law at that point is the pastor of the church, and so he wanted to know if I wanted to do an internship. I said, yeah. Did that for a year. Then he hired me on as a associate pastor for another 2 years. And then after that, we moved out here to plant a church, and we planted Horizon Christian Fellowship in Littleton and was there for 17 years before God called my wife and I and our family here 11 years ago. And so that meeting with the Lord, going to that condo, asking God and hearing clearly, do that, that was my burning bush experience. I had received my calling, a call that was not easy, it was not comfortable, a call that I sometimes doubted, but it was my call. Moses is about to receive his calling here, his burning bush experience, where we get that phrase from. But Moses is about to learn what I had to learn. When you receive the calling, you have to understand it is not about you. It's eyes on the living God. And God is always looking for people who are willing, available, and teachable. And you take away any of those three things, and you're going to fail in what God has called you to do. You're going to fail in what God has called you to do. And it's not going to be easy. And it hasn't been easy. But I will tell you this. When you have an all-sufficient God and an insufficient man, and that insufficient man places himself in the hands of an all-sufficient God, God can do amazing things. And he's about to do that with Moses here. Moses is now Midian. He's 40 years has passed. He's a shepherd for Jethro, his father-in-law. We read here in verse 1, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God," which is also Mount Sinai, by the way. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." So this is the most famous appearing of the angel of Yahweh. At this point, Moses has never met God. He's in the wilderness, the backside of the desert, watching over sheep, totally oblivious about what's about to happen. And so last time we went over verse 1 and 2a is as far as we had gotten. But we discussed at great length who the angel of the Lord is. And anytime you see Lord there, L-O-R-D, all capitalized, that always means Yahweh. Okay? And then that always means that when you look at that and understand that, when we track angel of the Lord, it is always speaking of the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call that a Christophany. And a Christophany comes from two Greek words. Christos means Christ, Messiah, anointed one. Phanero, which means to be revealed or manifest or made clear. Therefore, a Christophany is a visible manifestation or appearance of Christ before taken on human form through the virgin birth. So it's something physical you can see without seeing God in all his glory. Okay. Moses is about to have an encounter with God, and he's going to see a Christophany. He's going to see this angel of the Lord in the flame. It's not the flame. He's in the flame. And that is also the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus himself. And so at this point of his life, Moses never met God, but as it happens so often in the Bible, God comes looking for a man. And he comes to Moses, and he's about to turn his life upside down. So verse 2, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." So again, angel of the Lord, Yahweh, appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. Flame of fire often appears as a symbol of God's presence. We see this with Abram in Genesis 15, 17. When God is making a covenant with Abram, we read in Genesis 15, 17, "And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces." And that spoke of the Lord, Yahweh, making a covenant. He appeared in those forms. Later in Exodus, God will appear in the pillar of fire to lead Israel in the desert. God will appear in a flame of fire when the tabernacle and the temple is built. Here in Exodus 3, in verse 21, we see this. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. He allowed for that form to be around him, but he was not that form. He was not the cloud. He is not the flame. He is not the fire. But this form is what envelopes him. Okay? In Exodus 14, 19, it says, "And the angel of God," which is the same as angel of the Lord, Yahweh, "who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them." Verse 24 goes on to say, "Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord, Yahweh, looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians." The word "through" there in verse 24 is the same Hebrew word that means "in." Same word. Same word. Thus showing the angel of God, verse 19, chapter 14, and Lord Yahweh in verse 24, speaking of the same event, the same thing happening, are one and the same. Okay? One and the same. It's also interesting that the Holy Spirit appears in very fiery ways as well. We read that on the day of Pentecost, don't we, in Acts chapter 2, verse 2, where it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Because of this, there's many who believe that Yahweh is appearing through the Spirit. In other words, the fire and the cloud is a spirit that envelopes the angel of the Lord, Yahweh. So that anytime Yahweh appears as a cloud or as fire, it is the manifestation of the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, covering the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus. And whatever the case may be here with Moses, there is a fire here, and yet the amazing thing is in that fire there's a bush and it's not being consumed. It's not being consumed. Go to verse 3 here of Exodus. It says, "Then Moses said, I will now turn aside, see the great sight, why the bush does not burn." Let's say what's not happening here. The bush is not fueling the fire, or then the bush would be consumed. However, what we are seeing is that the fire is fueling the bush. In other words, something supernatural, contrary to the laws of nature, is happening here. Moses is being shown something supernatural in order to get Moses' attention. And this supernatural occurrence was also something of God's holiness, his glory, being shown to Moses. And so Moses notices a bush burning, yet it's not being consumed. The word "bush" here in the Hebrew is a Hebrew word, and it's sene. The unused root meaning means to prick. It means a bramble. So this is some sort of a thorn bush. The ancient rabbis taught that this is the acacia thorn bush, the thorn bush of the desert. It's interesting to me that the curse of Adam was characterized by thorns. We read in Genesis 3:17, "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." So thorns are symbolic of the curse. The thorn of the crowns that Jesus wore on the cross were not something painful that he just had to endure. They represented the curse that was placed upon him. God placing the curse of mankind upon his son, Adam's sin. Jesus taking the curse of mankind upon himself, making the payment for the curse for all of mankind. Fire speaks of judgment. So this burning bush, this thorn bush, man's curse, is being judged by fire and yet not being consumed. To the rabbinical mind, that is God's grace and mercy. The sin of man, the thorn bush, the curse being judged by fire, yet not being consumed. You see, it's God's grace that attracts us to that. And understand it's a foreshadowing that he is going to judge sin. And those who receive that gift of God's Son will not be consumed, but their sin will indeed be judged. Amazing. Amazing. Bush not being consumed. It attracts Moses. And whether Moses knew it or not, I believe that God was showing him a lesson of mercy and grace and a foreshadowing of how he's going to take care of the sin problem later on. We continue to read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, saying, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." We've seen the same pattern of God's calling with Abraham, Abraham in Genesis 22, verse 11. And then we see it with Jacob, Jacob in Genesis 31, 11. We see it in Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:11, Samuel, Samuel. And then we see it here with Moses, Moses. In verse 5, it said, he said to him, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." It's interesting, when you look up the Hebrew word for sandals, it's pronounced Crocs. It's weird. It's like, wow, all right. I want you to go to Joshua chapter 5. We read something kind of similar there, okay? Go over here to Joshua chapter 5. Place your finger right there, Joshua chapter 5, and then go over to Exodus 33. So keep your hand there, and then let's go over to Exodus 33. Now, after Moses has brought the people to Mount Sinai, before the people had made the tabernacle, okay? After they had made the tabernacle, Moses would meet God in his own tent, and it was called the tabernacle. It was called the tent of meeting, okay? But because of the sin that happens in chapter 32 of worshiping the golden calf and everything else, God gets frustrated with the people, and Moses takes his tent, which is in the midst of the people, and places it outside the camp. So now he's going to meet with God outside the camp. And so that tent that he meets God in, which is Moses' tent where he sleeps and everything else, that is called the tabernacle. It's also called the tent of meeting. And this is called the tabernacle, tent of meeting, before the actual tabernacle is built. Okay? So in verse 7, I had to explain that so you understand what's happening here. Okay? Verse 7 says, "Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, called it the tabernacle of meeting." Okay, and it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, each man stood at his tent door, watched Moses until he had gone to the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended, stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked to Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So they see Moses walk outside of the camp over to his tent over there, however far away it was. Moses is going to be talking to God himself. The people are way over here, so they don't hear what's going on. But they see the pillar of cloud, and they know that God's presence is there, and that he's speaking to him. They do know that.
We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Pastor Dave Love will be back tomorrow to continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.